righteousness, and he had a need of a complete surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we are this morning, maybe we think that's not an appropriate question to ask. But I believe that we see through a glass darkly. Our knowledge is limited. We're not perfect yet. We're still here striving to experience more of God. And I don't think there's anything wrong with the question, what lack I yet as we face the new year? We have a life to live. Some of us have been Christians for 40 years or more. Some for 10 years, some for 20. And we have been learning, studying, seeking God, going to church every Sunday. Brother Abner just acknowledged he has some lacks. He made a confession here just a little bit ago. He's probably been a Christian as long as any of us. So I think we would acknowledge that we have some needs, and we still have room to grow, and there are some things that we should be reminded of and encouraged in the Word of God as we face another year. You know, we're living in days whenever there is much frustration in the churches. There's much discouragement among many Christians. I know there are Christians that are burned out with churches and don't have any desire to be a part anymore. There are Christians that have just been completely frustrated and discouraged and defeated. And as time goes on, we'll probably see more discouragement and more. That's what the devil wants to see. That's what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to wear out the saints. He's trying to destroy the church. And he's doing a great job of it. So this morning, we want to think about, where are we today? Are you enjoying your life today? Are you experiencing the blessing of God upon your life? Is your life being fulfilled? Are you experiencing the overflowing life? You know, there's much to be experienced in this Christian life. There's many places to go in this Christian life. Deeper into the Word of God. That's one place we can go. We can never get to the end of the depths of the Word of God. We can study it. We can learn it. We can be educated in it. But unless we have it within our heart and in our life, that we are experiencing it in reality. Learning to walk in the Spirit and hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Learning to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Spending time with Him. Prayer is a powerful resource that God has given to the Christians. And I confess I don't pray like I should, and I'm afraid too many of us don't. It's something we can grow in, something we must do more of. And one thing that challenged me is that of engaging war against Satan. You know, we're in a warfare today. We have a great resistance against the church, And we are not just here to stand defending ourselves, but we are here to attack Satan's territory and to bring defeat to his work. We need to have an offensive position in life and in the church and in the work of God. We need to be in an offensive attack upon Satan's work here. And another one I have here, I've recently read the book. I don't know how many have read the book by David Platt on the danger of the American dream. I think that is one thing that is destroying the church today, is the American dream. That's what causes that complacency that we've been talking about. That's what's destroying the church. And I believe that that's something that, you know, we realize it. We know that money isn't really blessed of God in a rich man. A rich man. Now, God and Jesus never had much good to say about him, but yet we strive to get rich. 2 Chronicles 2:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin, and will hear their land. So we have needs. We do have lacks, I believe. And there are things, there are areas where we need to be aware of and to be encouraged in and to be challenged in. And this morning, this message, it sounds like a negative message, but I want it to be an encouraging and a lifting up message. So I want you to turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, we have the story of Joshua and Caleb, and it's been one of the most challenging accounts, encouraging accounts in my life, in the story of Joshua and Caleb. I want to encourage us together today in seeking God and confidence in God and in being all that God wants us to be in 2011. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 14, I'm going to read chapter 13, verse 21, I'm sorry. I'm going to read through this account. It's always been a blessing to me. It says, so they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Sin unto Rephidim. Here we see the 10 spies went out and searched the land of Canaan. And they ascended up by the south and came into Hebron, where Ahima and Shema and Tamlin, the children of Anak, and now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan. And they came into the brook of Eshcol, cut down from thence the branch into the cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. And they brought the pomegranates and the figs. And the place was called the brook of Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, what, we came into the land whither thou sentest, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people, be strong. Here we have the land that flows with milk and honey, and they cut a cluster of grapes that had to be carried by two men on a pole. They had proof that it was a great land. But, he said, but nevertheless, the people are strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Is that what we see in life today? We see the children of Anak. We see the giants before us. We see the discouragement. We see the defeat of the churches. We see so many things in this world today that could just discourage us and to tear us down. This is what the spies saw, and they were discouraged because of all the things that they saw. It scared them. He said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. They brought up an evil report of the land which they searched unto the children of Israel. The land through which we had gone to search, it's a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. All the people we saw in it were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants of Anak, which are become giants. We saw the giants, the sons of Anak, and we were in their sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. We were grasshoppers in their sight. This is the story that the spies, some of the spies, brought back to Moses and Aaron. They were discouraged. They were scared. All they could see was that we can't do it. We can't do it. They'll consume us. Caleb said, still the people before Moses, and said, Caleb stilled the people and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. We had a couple of spies that had courage and had confidence in God. But if they didn't have confidence in God, they had no hope. They were scared. So that all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, whole congregation, and said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, and would God that we died in the wilderness? Wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by this sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their face before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Japheth, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel and said, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then He will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the Lord, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. This is the courage and confidence that Caleb and Joshua had in their God. They are bread for us. They are just what we need. They are in our hands. God, their defense is gone. The Lord is with us. And their defense is departed. They don't have a chance. Only because they saw God, and they knew that God was on their side. And if they attacked with God on their side, there's nothing to be afraid of. They had a great confidence in their God. They had courage and confidence. They saw, they had their eyes on the right place. But these men that were weak, they were looking around them and all the circumstances and situations, and they were looking at themselves and their own weakness, and they were not putting their eyes on God. This morning, this we are living our life, and we're trying to manipulate our life in such a way that we make things happen the way that we want it to happen, and we try to be in control of our life. We're going to be defeated and discouraged too, because we don't have that control. We're going to lose control if we think we're in control. But we need to put our lives totally in the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have that confidence in God that only He is able to defeat the enemy. Only He is able to destroy the enemy, and He is able to give us the victory. He is able to accomplish the work that He has given us to do. We cannot do it ourselves, but God has destroyed the defense of the devil, and He has given us the grace and the power to accomplish the work that He's called us to do. Praise God. Then we want to go to Joshua chapter 1 again. Joshua chapter 1. Here we have this beautiful story. After Moses died, and God speaks to Joshua. God speaks to Joshua. Here it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Joshua was the one that was taking over the responsibility of the children of Israel at this time. It says, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea around toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. That promise is for you and I today. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. These same promises, these came from the mouth of God to Joshua. And I believe God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe we can take these promises and apply them to our lives today if we have ourselves yielded to God, and if we are walking with God, if we have our lives completely surrendered over to God, and He is the Master and the Lord of our life. He says, be strong and of good courage, for unto us this day, or for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Here we see that promises of God are to those who are walking with God. It's not condoning a careless, sinful life. It's only to those that are walking with God by faith. In verse 8, says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. This promise can be to you this morning. As you walk with God, as you have your faith in God, be strong and of good courage in 2011. God wants to go before us and conquer the land. God wants to work His work in this community. He wants to work His work in His people. He wants to accomplish great things today in His church. Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Over in verse 16, it says, Joshua said, all that thou commandest us we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest we will go. According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. So this is a challenge that we have to the church today, and I believe it's something that we lack today in the churches. I believe that's the reason there is complacency in the church. It is because there's a lack of courage, there's a lack of confidence. There's a lack of confidence in God. There's a lack of courage, and there's a lack of trust. There's a lack of faith. But we need to have our hearts stayed on Him who is promised great things, and take courage and go forth with confidence in God. God wants to answer our prayers. He's here ready and waiting and willing. He's not holding back from us. He's not refusing. His hand is not short that it cannot reach us. He is here and He's wanting to pour His blessing upon us. He's wanting to prosper our lives as we humble ourselves before Him and acknowledge our need and allow His presence to fill our life. God is ready and waiting and willing. Let's be strong and of good courage. Let's not be dismayed, but let's go forth with confidence in God. I think that's one of the great things that we faced in our churches today is lack of courage and lack of confidence. Another place I want to look at is in Joshua chapter 10. I think we'll start reading in verse 15. Here we have the five kings. This is a lesson that's always been a blessing to me. In chapter 10, 15, it says, Joshua turned. This was after they were in the land of Israel. And they were conquering the land. Jericho was won, and many of the other battles were fought and won. And here it says, Joshua and all of Israel with him, Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp of Gilgal. This was after they had a battle and said these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Mekeda. It was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in the cave of Mekeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave, and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies, and smite the hindest part of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them unto your hand. And it came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into the fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Mekeda in peace. None moved his tongue against all the children of Israel. And then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave, and bring out these five kings unto me out of the mouth, out of the cave. And they did so, and brought forth those five kings unto them out of the cave. And the king of Jerusalem, the king of Herb, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out these kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel, and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near. Put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of these kings. I don't know if they were tied and they were laying down, but they held the men to put their feet upon the necks of the kings. And it says, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, be not dismayed, but be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom you fight. This morning, we have bondages. We have things hindering us from being free in Christ. God wants to put His foot upon the neck of those bondages and slay them. God wants to set us free. Be of good courage and be not afraid. But God wants to destroy the bondages and the enemy that wants to hinder us from being a free man in Christ. If you're here this morning and you have a bondage in your life, something that is hindering you from being free in Christ, God Himself wants to slay that if you will allow Him to put yourself under His authority. God has promised great victory to the people of God, as He did in the days of Joshua. He has promised these things to us today. There's no reason to be defeated and discouraged, because God is on our side. God is our deliverer. He is our defense. He is our victory this morning. In Ephesians 6:12 it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is the battle that we are fighting this morning. There is spiritual darkness, there is wickedness, and there's principalities and powers that are fighting against the church. But God has put the authority in our hearts and in our hands, and in that He is able to destroy the powers of darkness. And as we take upon ourselves that authority that God has given to claim His promises and to claim the victory in Jesus, that there is no bondage that cannot be broken. There is no sin that cannot be defeated. There is victory in Jesus this morning because God is in control. Jesus died and shed His blood on Calvary that we have our sins forgiven, that we have that Satan is defeated, and He rose again in victory in Jesus. And that's our victory this morning, that we have the power of God today to live in this confidence that God gave to Joshua in this day, that we can have that same courage and confidence that God gave to him. We can have confidence that the power of God is sufficient. There's no lack. There's no defeat. There is power with Him. If we're willing to lay ourselves out and have Him step upon us and our neck and defeat our enemies, defeat those bondages in our life, that we can be free. We can be free in Him. Praise God. Be not dismayed. Fear not. Be strong and of good courage. God is on our side today. I also like the scripture in Joshua 14. verse 6. Joshua 14 says, the children of Judah came unto Joshua Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, and Kenneth said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when the Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. I brought him word as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. This is talking about his experience in with the spies. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong. This day I was, in that day Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. The only way this could be is because his strength was the Lord. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain. Wherefore the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. This was Caleb speaking here. Joshua blessed Caleb and gave Caleb the son of Jephthah Hebron for an inheritance. Here we see that Caleb had the same vision. He said, Lord, give me this mountain. God brings mountains into our life. Sometimes it looks like we just can't go any farther. But we come to God with that confidence that Caleb had. Lord, give me this mountain. Mountains are good for us. Mountains strengthen our faith. Those things that look impossible, those things that look like we just can't go any farther. But when we break our hearts before God and say, Lord, give me this mountain, God will hear and answer. God will pour His grace into our life. He will fill us with His presence. He will show us the way. So as we face another year, we don't know what the year may hold. We know what 2010 held. It's past. You can't change it. But 2011 is before us. And as we put our hand in God's and put our faith and confidence in Him, and we go forth with courage and confidence in Him, God will accomplish the work that He has put before us. We know that God's promises are true. We know that God's Word is true. He will not let us down. Let's continue. Let's give ourselves wholly unto His purposes. Another, you know, we talk about courage and confidence and boldness in Christ. You know, I've seen where people have been courageous and valiant for the truth, and for what's right and for the church and for the things that they feel are correct and right. And I've seen where that kind of courage can be destructive if it's not balanced with the love of God in our hearts. Yeah, I just spoke with a brother just this week. He's been very hurt because of the system and the strong emphasis on having things correct and exact and precise. And you know, we need in our courage, with our courage and with our confidence in God, especially in our relationships together, it needs to be saturated with love. We can have all the faith to remove mountains, but unless there's love there, it's not going to amount to anything. So that's what I'd like to look at here yet in closing. In 1 Corinthians 13, you know, if there's another thing that we lack, I lack. You know, we can have everything correct. We can have great confidence, great courage. But if we lack love, it's not going to edify. It's not going to build. It's not going to be of any blessing to God. Though I speak with the tongues of men and the angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, I have not charity, I am nothing. So with all this faith and confidence and courage that we have in God, if we don't have charity in all that we do, if it's not saturated with love for God and for those around us, it's not going to benefit and it's not going to edify. It's going to destroy. It's not going to amount to anything. I am nothing. So we want to look at this as a balance of the courage and confidence yet saturated with love. For though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. We can have great experiences with God. We can have prophecies and gifts and many manifestations and great worship experiences and whatever our experience might be, if it's not in love, if it's anything less than love, it's all vanity. We can have great understanding. You know, we can be trained in the highest theological schools and we can be so determinedly correct in everything. We know that we have the answers for every question and every situation that comes up. But if it's not with love, it doesn't mean anything. Charity suffereth long. Charity is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth itself. Vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. There's no room for me. There's no room for my flesh in the work of God. There's no room for self-life. There's no room for a arrogancy in our walk with God in order to experience that victory and that power and those promises that God gave that we talked about. Unless we humble ourselves before God and break ourselves in Him and surrender ourselves completely unto Him, it's not going to benefit anybody. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. Charity will never fail. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. So, are we only knowing in part? Evidently, we don't have all the answers yet, do we? We don't know it all yet. One day, when He comes, we will know as we are known. And I long for that day when we can be with Him and we can know all the answers. That's the reason we have so many splits and splinters and divisions and different churches all over the land, is because people think they know it, and they're not patient, and there's not love for those that don't know it just like I do. It says, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. So what lack I yet? I believe these things that I talked about is something that I lack, and I want to be encouraged in it. I'm sure there's many more things we could talk about. But you know, by walking with God and opening our hearts and our and looking into the Word of God, we can be encouraged and we can be strengthened. And I believe that our church could experience more love. I believe we could experience more love in our relationships together. That we could have more of a oneness and more of a togetherness. You know, we can be ever so correct, ever so precise, but if we don't have love, if we don't have a desire to understand our brothers and sisters, and a desire to share and to be encouraged together, it's not going to edify. So that's my challenge to you this morning. It's my encouragement that we learn to live together and walk together, be confident and encouraged in our God, and love one another continually till Jesus comes.